We enjoy a holy hour tonight before our Blessed Sacrament. Remember, we are beloved disciples of Jesus. Disciples dearly loved by Jesus, meaning we're disciples dearly loved by the Eucharist. He always makes the overture. He's happy we're here. He's been calling us all day to this moment of intimacy with him. And so we will enjoy this Eucharistic time. And hopefully you'll be able to stay awake. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been eating all day. Delicious food. But wow, I've had a super abundance of food today. It's good. It's the beginning of Lent. I can get back to my usual routine of fasting. But anyway, tonight we will take up the topic of humility and humble service. We've been tracing this whole call or vocation of being a beloved disciple of Jesus. We've been pondering how it had a great impact on the heart of Saint John the Evangelist. We have been really trying to understand what he understood so keenly, that Jesus really, truly, and loved him completely. He loved John the Evangelist the most. And yet he understood that Jesus loves everybody the most. So he doesn't identify himself in the Gospels when he clearly could have. He keeps himself anonymous somewhat by simply giving himself the title of the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that way we all can put ourselves in that place and just remember that we are dearly loved. We're near to the heart of Christ, dear to the heart of Christ. And we've looked at different themes regarding this and of discipleship. And tonight we'll ponder this whole virtue of humility. It greatly touched John the evangelist, greatly touched his heart. He begins his gospel talking about the eternal Word of God. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and then the Word became flesh, and then the world dwelt among us. This whole concept of kenosis and emptying of himself, that God would humble himself to that extent for him, that God would actually come down to earth, empty himself for John, for him, and that he would die for him. Truly an amazing, amazing thing. And so this whole element of humility was very powerful to Saint John the Evangelist. The beloved disciple, therefore, as he understood, is one who is humble and devoted to humble service. You know, the saints have said so much about humility, and there is so much to learn from them. Saint Bernadette said one time, "We need to be humiliated a lot to be humble a little." That's how hard it is to be humble. We need to be humiliated a lot in order to be humble a little. So be careful if you're praying, be really humble. What does that mean? How much humiliation? Saint Therese didn't want to be proud at all. She wanted to stay away from everything that glimmered and sparkled. You know, the fancy stuff. She didn't want that because that attracts attention. You know, she didn't want compliments. Those are verbal sparkles. She didn't want compliments, because she knew how hard it was to avoid pride. Nowadays, we put sparkles all over our ears and our nostrils and our lips and that. And then they say, "What are you staring at if you're staring at them?" Well, you're sparkling, you know. You're shimmering. You want attention. That's why you do that. Don't tell me any differently. You do all those things because you want attention. You know. That's what's involved today with all this marring of our bodies and piercings and stuff, people want attention. Then when you do look at them, they say, what are you looking at? Well, you. You sparkle. Therese wanted to stay away from all things that sparkle because it's so hard to be humble. The beloved disciple is humble, devoted to humble service. And of course, the best example, the one that really sold St. John the Evangelist on this, is of course Jesus himself. We read in chapter 13 one of the great stories of humble service by Jesus. St. John writes in chapter 13, "Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Master, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well.' Jesus said to him, 'Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all.' For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, 'Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Amen, amen, I say to you, no slave is greater than his master, nor any messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you understand this, blessed are you if you do it. I am not speaking of all of you. I know those whom I have chosen, but so that the scripture might be fulfilled, 'The one who ate my food has raised his heel against me.' From now on, I am telling you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I am. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." There is an awful lot in this passage, but St. John the Evangelist, the theologian that he was, and the amount of time he had to ponder all this, because he's running towards the end of the first century, it clicked. He got it. Again, this whole theme of beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved and how much Jesus loved him, he understood well and very deeply what all was going on here. That Jesus provided humble service at the moment almost of his glory when he comes to power. It's just going to happen the next day. That Jesus provides humble service in the face of rejection. Right in this story, we're already being told that the devil had already, St. John writes this in there, the devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. St. John's not missing any of this, that humble service is being done at the onset of Christ's glory and power. We'll talk about it more. But at the humble service is being done in the face of rejection, even to the one who rejects him. And that humble service is being done, which is a connection with the crucifixion. And that humble service is being done, which therefore is a connection with the Mass. And that humble service is being done because it's the only way for souls to be saved. All of this is wrapped up in this one story. No wonder St. John, the evangelist, carefully puts the details. He has so many details in this story because he's caught all the connections that humble service was the life of Christ, and therefore it has to be the life of the beloved disciple. So first of all, humble service in the face of glory, in the midst of glory. Jesus knew all things had been given into his hands, as this passage says. He knew that his hour of humiliation was near, but he knew that his hour of glory was also near. This knowledge of glory could well have filled him with pride. It's hard for any human being, right, he's not a human being, he's a divine being with human nature, but it's hard for any of us human beings to deal with glory and to really remain humble. Can any athlete, as humble as sometimes you hear these sports announcers say, this guy, he's such a humble athlete. Can any athlete be truly, truly humble when he's splattered all over the front page of Sports Illustrated and everybody knows his name and he's become famous overnight? That is really hard. You know how when Christ said it's harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle? It's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle? That Hebraic expression, but he meant a camel going through the eye of a needle, the biggest critter in one of the smallest little gaps in their culture. It's about the same when it comes to glory. It's hard. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a human being to be truly humble in the midst of praise and glory. But Jesus was humble. Completely, totally, and perfectly humble. The knowledge of the power and glory that were his did not move him to pride. With that knowledge of power and glory that were his, he washed his disciples' feet. At that moment, when he might have had supreme pride, he had supreme humility. True love is always like that. True love moves one to humility. And that's where the beloved disciple understood that he was so loved that this humble service came about from Jesus. Now he has to love like Jesus loved in order to be truly humble. Love can get us there. Love, true love can get us there. We've all experienced that. Maybe a loved one is deceased. Not deceased, but a loved one is dying or really sick. And we find ourselves more willing to do the menial tasks. Sometimes the really hard tasks. The difficult tasks. But that's because this loved one needs help. This loved one's helpless. You know, I remember when our dad was dying 3.5 years ago, I remember my sister Cindy so tenderly wiping the gunk out of his eyes because he couldn't really do anything like that anymore. It was very beautiful. How many of you, your spouse gets up in the morning, really one of those bad nights, there's a lot of gunk, walks in the kitchen and says, honey, would you wipe the gunk out of my eyes? You're not going to do it. You know, no, I think you can do it yourself. But when you can't do it, we've all had that experience where someone's very ill and we're trying to help them and we're willing to do the tough things, the hard things, the menial things, you know. Well, these apostles and all of us and all of humanity that are the beloved disciples of Jesus, they were very sick. They were terminally ill. It's called sin. And Christ, who came here, he's able to, out of his love, humble himself like we would humble somebody with their bedpan or whatever it might be, because we love that person and they're helpless. We were helpless, full of sin, terminally ill, and Jesus came to help. His humble service comes out of his love. He knew he was the King of Kings and the Lord of all, and that soon he would be enjoying the glory of heaven as King of the universe. And yet he washed his disciples' feet, a task that at most only slaves would do. So too, the beloved disciple is humble and devoted to humble service. No matter what glory we are experiencing, praise, compliments, this should grow as we grow in a more intimate relationship with Jesus. Humble service in the midst of glory. At the same time, the dynamics in the story are amazing. At the same time that he's headed to his glory and he humbly serves, there's also rejection going on. Ponder a moment how Jesus responded to rejection. Jesus was well aware that he was about to be betrayed by Judas. It would come just a little bit later in this story. Such knowledge could easily tempt him to anger or bitterness. All I've done for you, how could you do this to me? Isn't that the way we tend to respond oftentimes? Bitterness, if not hatred, that this person's going to do such a hard thing to me. But instead, it made the heart of Jesus burn with even greater love than ever. The astonishing thing about Christ's love was that the more men hurt him, the more Jesus loved them. Humility is at the core of such a wondrous response. You know, Judas, Jesus knows, as John points out, Jesus knew already the one who would betray him, Judas. But then he got down and he washed all the apostles' feet. And then it goes on. And then he announces the betrayal of Judas. And the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, leaned again and said, "Who is it, Jesus?" Jesus hands a morsel. And then he gives it to Judas. At that moment, darkness entered his soul. And Judas went out with that morsel. It never says he ate it. It was probably the Eucharist. He probably flung it outside as he left, because he didn't believe, perhaps. You know, but the fact is he was there when Jesus was washing the feet, because he left later. You know how we are. We like certain people, and we don't care for certain people. So we've got maybe gifts to give out, or we've got something nice we're going to do for people, and we kind of wait around to see if that one person will leave first. Once they go home or get out, then they'll say, then you'll bring out the best wine, or then we'll bring out the gifts or give the good news, because the person's hurt us or because whatever it might be. We kind of wait and leave out someone. The more men hurt Jesus, the more he loved them. He did not seek revenge out of pride or anger. Rather, he loved them and prayed for them. It is so easy and so natural to resent wrong. But Jesus met the greatest injury. He met the greatest injury with the greatest humility. And he met supreme disloyalty with supreme love. So humble service of the disciple of Jesus, the beloved disciple, is service even in the face of rejection. This humble service also is connected with what's going on that evening, the Last Supper. The washing of the feet by Jesus points to his death. So when Jesus washes the feet, we are given more than an example of humility. We are being told that discipleship is a dying, a laying down our life. Listen to the similarities even. St. John didn't miss it. That's why all these details are there. He even tells what he's wearing, what Jesus is wearing. He takes off this garment. He puts on a towel. All the details are important to him because why? Well, in washing the feet, it's an act of humiliation. He died the capital punishment of humiliation. He stripped off his garments and he stripped off his outer garments and then tied a towel around him to wash the feet. Before he was crucified, he was stripped of his garments. In washing the feet, he got down on the floor. They weren't even sitting on chairs. He had to get down on the floor, right on the floor, to wash their feet. He was cast down on the ground, on the floor, to be nailed to the cross. Then he washed the feet of the apostles, and he had his feet nailed to the cross. He did an act of a slave in washing the feet, and he died the death of a slave on the cross. This is the connection. What he was doing there is he was teaching them that humble service is a dying to self. Discipleship is a dying, a laying down my life. Jesus even said, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" St. John the Evangelist, the one whom Jesus loved, really would have understood that this was kind of a image of what it was to do that. The washing the feet was a type of crucifixion. Because of that, there's a connection with the Mass. For the Mass is the same sacrifice as Calvary, in an unbloody fashion. It's the representation of the same sacrifice that goes beyond space and time. We talked about the Eucharist this afternoon, the importance of it. But the washing of the feet is a call to humble service. And this humble service, because it is given at the Last Supper, points to the events surrounding it. It is connected with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the holy sacrifice of Calvary. So once again, as we talked earlier today, the coming to Mass is a service, a humble service. It is offering ourselves to the Lord. It is becoming part of that sacrifice being offered to the Heavenly Father, the willing sacrifice of Jesus connected to ours. And finally, this humble service is the only way. St. Peter objects, "You will never wash my feet." We can understand maybe where St. Peter's coming from. You know, he's watching what's going on. I'm not sure which one he was. Was he the first or was he the last? But he's watching what's going to happen. And let's say he's not the first, but he's watching what's going on. It sounds like he's not the first because Jesus is washing the feet and drying them, and all of a sudden he gets to Peter. So he's been watching this and thinking, "Oh, my feet are so dirty. My toenails are out of control. And I didn't see that cow pie on the way walking into town." You see, when we wash the feet on Holy Thursday, those feet were probably just washed an hour and a half earlier. I don't know anyone that comes to have their foot washed on Holy Thursday with dirty feet. So it's pretty easy. You know, we're washing clean feet. I'm not suggesting that if your pastor asks you this coming year to have your foot washed, I'm not suggesting you don't wash your feet for a week or two. But we're washing clean feet. But it was a total surprise to these apostles. They didn't have a clue this was going to happen. And we can understand St. Peter that "You will never wash my feet." But Jesus responds, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." What? No inheritance with Jesus? No oneness with him forever in heaven? Humble service really goes both ways. We need to submit to Jesus so that we can then do humble service for others. We need to become an instrument of Christ. It's in that oneness. That means there's no oneness, no intimacy without Jesus. We need to have a oneness with Jesus, an intimacy with Jesus. And I cannot be his beloved disciple without that oneness, without that intimacy. Peter, you've got to let me wash you. You are a frail human instrument, and you will not be able to provide humble service and obedient discipleship unless you allow me to take over your life, unless you allow me to do what I need to do in your heart, in your soul, cleanse you, sanctify you, wash you. I have to, we all have to, as beloved disciples, allow Jesus to take over our very being if we want to be truly united with him. As St. Paul put it, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. St. Paul's talking about the fact that he's no longer speaking. It's not Paul who talks, it's Jesus who talks through the lips of Paul. It's no longer I who act or think, it's Jesus who's acting and thinking, because I've given myself totally to him. I've died to self and allowed Jesus to take over my very being so that now Christ is living out his life through me. So when Peter says, you will never wash me, of course he didn't understand. But Jesus said, unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me, and you will not be able to lead anyone else to the same inheritance. Salvation. The beloved disciple knows that he deeply needs Jesus and that he cannot get to Jesus without Jesus. We cannot get to Jesus without Jesus. Every step we've taken closer to Jesus in our lives thus far, baptism, confirmation, Holy Communion, confession, whatever it is, it's been Jesus who's allowed us to get closer to Jesus. We need him. And so humble service is also a very important part of being a beloved disciple of Jesus. If we want to be disciples whom Jesus loves, we submit to his grace and his power. We humble ourselves completely and totally as much as we can. We allow him to take over, and then we are able to serve humbly as he did in the midst of glory and praise, in the face of rejection, laying down our lives in a crucifixion, a dying form, and in the connection with the Holy Eucharist, and in the oneness we have with Christ.